Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
Commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will be established. In other words, there's nothing wrong with making plans so long as your plans are God's plans. The problem is when our plans aren't God's plans, because He's sovereign and whatever He has planned is going to happen. So we need to commit our plans to the Lord. We need to make sure whatever we're planning is His plan. We need to run it by Him and make sure we're on the right path. We need to make sure we're in His will. We're not asking Him to join us in making our will happen, right? Because His plans are good plans.
Are you taking the time to run your plans by the Lord? In today's message from Pastor Pete, he shares with you that God will direct your paths, but you need to bring them to Him in prayer. Coming up with your own plans and then asking God to bless them is not what the Lord desires. Pastor Pete encourages you to bring every decision to the Lord. God, in His sovereignty, knows the will that He has for you. Take everything to Him and ask Him for His counsel and guidance. Ask Him to guide you. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of Mark chapter 2 as he continues part 2 of his message, The Power of Principles.
94% of the participants reported, and this was the most surprising, at the end of the study, 94% of the people reported that they were accomplishing more in working 6 days and resting one than they were before when they were working 7 days and resting none. Everyone who did the study found that it was a blessing in their life in some way, shape, or form, because it's a principle that works. I really do believe that for most of us, the stress we have and the worry we carry, the anxiety we hide from everybody, the trauma we suffer from, the frustrations we won't face, and much, much more would be impacted in a very positive way if we would just embrace this wonderful principle of rest. The principle of the Sabbath. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, understanding and obeying God's principles produces blessing in your life. You'll fly. So I want to encourage you to fly. I want to encourage you to strongly consider practicing a day of rest each week, a day that you just worship the Lord. And I think you're going to be surprised at how much this one principle will change your life. I know some people will argue, "Well, I'm not Jewish. This is for the Jews." No, this is a principle. It's a principle that's at work around you, and you can enjoy it and be blessed by it or not. But it's a principle that will work. Number two, second principle we're going to look at today is God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. It's another big one. It's one we could easily spend weeks, if not months, talking about and probably still only scratch the surface. But today I just want you to survey this big idea with me of the sovereignty of God. The Bible dictionaries define God's sovereignty in two ways. I want to read two of them to you. I think it kind of encapsulates what sovereignty is. I realize it's a big religious biblical word that some of you might have heard, but maybe don't really understand, and that's fine. You're kind of getting your feet wet with it. So here's how one Bible dictionary described it. The sovereignty of God is the biblical teaching that God possesses all power and is the ruler of all things. Another said it this way. The sovereignty of God is God's absolute right to do all things according to His own good pleasure. In short, God can do whatever He wants. You can't do whatever you want. I can't do whatever I want, but God can. You want to know why? He's sovereign over everything. He's sovereign over everything, right? Think about the areas of your life that you're sovereign over. Those are the areas you can do whatever you want in it. For some of you, it's at your house. You can do whatever you want at your house, but you don't get to do whatever you want where you work, do you? Some of you are like, "I can't do whatever I want at my house. She won't let me." That means you're not sovereign there, right? Right? We all have these little areas of our life that we're sovereign over. We can do whatever we want in that area, but we can't do whatever we want in this other area. Listen, God can do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, however He wants. It don't matter. He can do it because He's God. He's sovereign over all of it. Does that make sense? And this is the reality. We can learn to rest in the sovereignty of God. There's a reason I talked about rest early on, because this coordinates with his sovereignty. We can learn to rest in his sovereignty, and we can learn to get the blessings of resting in his sovereignty, or we can fight against it. But it's not going to change his sovereignty, because his sovereignty is a principle. It's there. It's like gravity. It affects everybody. Now, I'm not saying or suggesting that it's easy, that it's natural, that it's fun, or that it's simple to rest in the sovereignty of God. It's certainly not. But I am suggesting that understanding the principle of God's sovereignty will produce blessings if you're in your life if you accept it and obey it. I was thinking and praying deeply this week on this topic, trying to figure out what to do with the limited amount of time we have to cover it. And the Lord just really revealed to me what I believe are the three biggest reasons why we don't embrace God's sovereignty in our lives. Even those of us who know about the sovereignty of God, just like we know about resting, we're probably not really practicing it, right? We're probably not really resting in God's sovereignty. Even if we can talk about it or write a book on it, we're probably not doing it. And why don't we? Why don't we really rest and embrace in this principle that's so important? I think there are three reasons. The first one is this: our plans. The reason we won't rest in God's sovereignty is because, well, we're making lots of plans. And we put a lot of effort into our plans. And sometimes the sovereignty of God butts up against our plans. We think we're real smart. We think we're real good at planning things ourselves. The Bible has a lot to say about us planning things. When we take our plans and we put them in place of God's sovereignty, we're always sure to fall. The Bible teaches us that over and over and over again. It doesn't say much positive about you and I, our ability to plan things. Proverbs 19:21, for example, says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." You can plan whatever you want, but God's sovereign. James chapter 4, 13 through 16 says, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit,' yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you should say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.' But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." In other words, you're real good at making plans, but you can't do anything to make sure they happen because he's sovereign. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day might bring." There's a lot more, but they're all kind of basically in line with those, right? The reality is no matter what we might think, no matter how good we might think we are, no matter how smart we might be, we could put all the thinking power of all of our brains in this room right now together, and we still couldn't outthink God. We couldn't even get close. There's no way we could plan anything better than God. He's a much, much better planner than we are. Some of y'all don't believe that, so you need to hear it. I want you to turn and look at somebody and say, "God's a better planner than you." Yeah, most of y'all don't even believe that. You're kind of whispering it like, "God's a better planner than you." No, he's a better planner than you. Some of y'all are like, "I ain't telling my wife that." Mm-mm. No, sir. You ain't got to ride home with her. No. And you get mouthy in church. I know it's hard to believe, though, right? It's really hard to believe that God's a better planner than us when we lose a child. I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what we're talking about, God's sovereignty, resting in it, trusting in it. It's really hard to believe that God's a better planner than us when our career is cut short. It's really hard to believe that he's a better planner than us when our dreams are shattered. It's really hard to believe that he's a better planner than us when our spouse dies at an unexpected time at an early age. It's hard to believe it. You see, I know that the sovereign will of God does not always make sense and is not always easy to accept. The sovereign will of God won't always make you happy. It won't always make life simple. But if you will learn to rest in it, there's a principle there and a blessing there for you when you will learn to rest in his sovereignty. Proverbs 16 offers two pieces of great advice on this. The first comes in verse 3, where it says, "Commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will be established." In other words, there's nothing wrong with making plans so long as your plans are God's plans. The problem is when our plans aren't God's plans, because he's sovereign and whatever he has planned is going to happen. So we need to commit our plans to the Lord. We need to make sure whatever we're planning is his plan. We need to run it by him and make sure we're on the right path. We need to make sure we're in his will. We're not asking him to join us in making our will happen, right? Because his plans are good plans. The second great piece of advice comes in verse 9 of Proverbs 16, where it says, a person's heart plans his ways, but the Lord determines his steps. You see, we have to understand that no matter what it is, it's the Lord who's guiding our steps and leading us. And if we will listen to him, if we will learn from him, if we will follow him, if we will obey him, if we will seek him, then we will find him. And we will find blessings on our path, even if we find ourselves on a very, very tough path. Because we can rest inside of his sovereign will because we understand the power of that principle. His plans are always right. His plans are always the right plans. Tell somebody that. His plans are always the right plans. His ways are always the right ways. You know, sometimes you just got to stand in front of the mirror and tell yourself that. I don't know what God's doing, but his plans are right. I don't know what God's doing here, but his ways are right. You know who talks to you the most? Who talks to you the most? You. You talk to you the most. You're talking to yourself all day, every day. Half the problems in your life, you talked yourself into them. Probably more than half, if we're being honest, right? Because we talk to ourselves all the time. Half the stuff you believe, probably more than half, is stuff you've talked yourself into believing. You need to go look in the mirror and you need to start speaking some scripture over you, some promises of God over you. You need to remember what God says. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the plans I have for you. Now, my wife was reminding me this, and I thought about talking about it. I just want to share it real quick. This comes after God tells them it's going to be rough for 70 years. He basically says your whole life is going to be really, really tough, but I've got something planned 70 years from now. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration, it says, plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Some of y'all, you just got to go stand in front of the mirror. You need to get inside your head and say, you know what? I know God has plans for me. Plans for hope, plans for a future, not plans of disaster, good plans. And his sovereign will includes good plans for me, plans for my well-being, plans for a great future, plans filled with hope. You got to let go of your plans and get on his plan. Rest in his sovereign will, and you're going to find life works a whole lot better if you get on that principle. The second thing that gets in our way is our priorities. It's not just our plans, it's our priorities that messes up. See, we struggle to rest and trust in God's sovereignty because so many times our priorities are getting in the way. The reality is we're prioritizing the wrong stuff most of the time. We prioritize wealth, we prioritize retirement, we prioritize safety and security, we prioritize material possessions, we prioritize fun and recreation, we prioritize entertainment, we prioritize sports and social activities, we prioritize politics over God. We got a lot of priorities that are out of whack. And our priorities are what we're focusing on and what we're thinking about and what we're putting our money and our effort and our energy into, and they're really not right most of the time. So the problem is when our priorities butt up against God's priorities, we get surprised and we start to struggle to rest in his sovereignty because our priorities are wrong. Not because his are wrong, his priorities are right. But our priorities don't look like his priorities because we've got the wrong priorities. And so we can't trust in his sovereignty because we're trusting in our plans and our priorities. I think this is in part why Paul wrote things like Philippians 4:8, where he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. He says, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Think about these things. Prioritize these things. Bring these things to the surface in your life. Because when we're not thinking about and prioritizing the right things, we're certain to fall out of step with the Lord. See, to rest in God's sovereignty, we must possess God's priorities for our lives. To the Colossians, Paul wrote in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, so if you have been raised with Christ, in other words, if you're a believer, if you're a disciple, if you are saved, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, what does he say to do? He says, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your minds on things above, not earthly things, for you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You see, here we see that for the Christian, our priorities are not the same as those who live in the world. We prioritize and seek things that are above, not things that are in front of us or around us, or at least we're supposed to. We're supposed to set our minds on the things that are above us, not the things that are around us. And when we do that, we remove a major barrier to accepting and trusting God's sovereign will in our life. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. In other words, trust in God's sovereign will. Seek his kingdom first. Get your priorities right. And then everything else is going to line up and make sense, because God's sovereign will is always best. If you want to learn to rest in God's sovereignty, then you must possess the priorities of God. It is that simple. If you don't, you will be extremely, extremely disappointed, and it will be extremely, extremely hard to enjoy the blessings of resting in his sovereignty. If you do, you'll fly. If you don't, you'll fall. And here's the third reason we don't trust God's sovereignty. We don't embrace it and rest in it. It's our perspective. You see, many times we just have a very, very poor perspective about life. We don't look at things the right way. You know, we admire the Apostle Paul for many reasons, but one of the reasons is he wrote things like Romans 8:28. In Romans 8:28, he says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. He talks right there about God's sovereignty, that everything's going to work together. God's got the plans already figured out. He goes on in the verses to follow to talk about that even more as it relates to salvation. Paul wrote a lot of stuff like that. You know, Paul's the guy who was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was abused, he was mistreated, he was laughed at, he was made fun of, he was run out of town, he had to be lowered down walls and baskets. He's the guy, he gets arrested over there in Philippi, and him and Silas are thrown in prison. And at midnight, chained to the walls and the floor, him and Silas are singing hymns, praising God. I get thrown in jail, I ain't gonna be singing no hymns. I'll be scared to death. He's just singing hymns, trusting God. This wasn't the kind of prison where you were getting fed good and had air conditioning, had a doctor to come check on you and bandage your wounds, had people caring about you and loving on you. No, 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 it was a different kind of prison. And he's just praising God, because he understood that God was sovereign, that God had it in control. He's able to sing in that moment and many others because he's resting in the sovereignty of God. He understood and harnessed the power of this principle. His perspective was right, and so it allowed him to enjoy it. He had the right perspective. You see, when your perspective is wrong about life and the Lord, it's going to be impossible for you to rest in the sovereignty of God. Psalms 115 speaks of a great perspective in the sovereignty of God when it says, not to us, verse 1, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your faithful love, because of your truth, why should the nation say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven, and he does whatever he pleases, because he's sovereign. Not to us, though. Not to us. There at the end, we see how sovereign he is. He does whatever he pleases. And the psalmist is okay with that and can rest in that because he has the proper perspective. Not to us, not to us. Is that your perspective? Is it mine? Generally not, right? Generally, it's, Lord, what about us? Lord, what about me? Lord, bring that to me. Bring that to me. Do that for me. Lord, me, 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 me. It's the wrong perspective. Not to us. The Lord is sovereign. It doesn't matter if you believe it. He is. Isaiah said this in 46, 9 and 10. Remember what happened long ago, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and no one is like me. I declare the end from the beginning. Indeed, he has. I declare the end from the beginning and from long ago what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place, and I will do all my will, because he is sovereign. If you're struggling to rest and trust and believe in his sovereign power, I would encourage you to examine your plans, your priorities, and your perspective. They're probably getting in the way. I believe the Lord knows everything. I believe the Lord knew you were going to be here today, sitting in the exact seats you're sitting in. I believe the Lord knew I was going to speak these exact words on this exact day. He knew we were going to all be together right here in this place to worship him this hour from the very beginning of time, because he's sovereign. He knew you were going to hear about that today. If you've been rejecting God, if you've been rejecting his plan, can I encourage you today to embrace it and receive it? He knew you were going to hear this on the radio. He knew you were going to see this on Facebook and decide to stop and watch. If you've been rejecting him, you've heard this for a reason today. Stop rejecting him and receive him and trust him and believe in him. Christ died for you. He gave his life for you. He bled for you. He rose from the dead for you so you could be victorious over death yourself. Repent and be saved today. Rest in the sovereignty of God.
Following the path that God has laid out for you is not always the easiest thing to do. You may feel like you're on your own path and you like that one better. Maybe it looks better to you than the one that God's directing you toward. What does this all mean? Here on One to Another, Pastor Pete Pavelic is helping you see the value in the path God's leading you on. It sure can have its moments of twists and turns, but he's right there beside you, and he won't let you go. Trust that God's got this. As you've been listening today, we trust that what you're hearing is landing on a soft heart, willing and receptive to hearing God's plan and his will. If this message has been a great encouragement to you, we invite you to listen to even more great teachings from Dr. Pete. You can easily find these teachings at onetoanotherradio.org. While you're there, we'd love for you to be in the know of what's going on in our ministry, as well as upcoming events that Pastor Pete will be speaking at. So go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more. Before our time ends for today, Gwen has something else to mention about the radio ministry of One to Another. Tell us all about it, Gwen.
Sure thing, Phil. Did you know that One to Another Radio is listener supported? We're so happy to be on the air and for new listeners to be tuning in each and every day. But something we'd like you to be aware of is that it's listeners like you who keep us going in the ministry. That's right. We have people listening in from all over the country. And once they hear about our ministry, they many times feel led to send a donation gift, which helps cover the funding for radio. Would you be interested in coming alongside us and partnering with us in this way? We would be so blessed by that. All you have to do is send a donation to onetoanotherradio.org. And guess what? If you're new to donating to our ministry this month, we're going to send you a gift of the month. How awesome is that? We can't wait to multiply the blessings that come our way by giving back to our listeners. So once again, head over to onetoanotherradio.org to donate and to learn more about Pastor Pete and the ministry going on here. Thanks for listening, and here's Phil again.
Gwen, we're glad you shared that information. In case any of our listeners missed that website, it's onetoanotherradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. Pastor Pete will be back with another solid teaching from God's Word next time on One to Another.